I want to share about God's love this morning. That's the title of my sermon. I grew up in a Christian family. My grandmother was converted, one of the few people who were first converted in Vietnam when the missionary came over. My mom then followed the family and was a Christian, and my dad was a co-porter. So I really, you know, admire you guys going out co-porting. So I heard a lot about God's love growing up. And when I was young, I memorized this John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And, of course, only in Vietnamese. I can say that in Vietnamese. I have to look at my paper. But sometimes I realize that I read that verse like a parakeet. I really don't feel it. And I really, you know, Daniel said something the other day when he came up to appeal in terms of community service. Sometimes we see with our eyes what we don't see with our heart. And sometimes we talk about God's love with head knowledge, what we read, but we don't really feel it deeply. So this morning I want us to take a few moments to really, really feel God's love for each one of us. Why do you think it's important? Why did I pick this topic? You guys, you know, it's so common. You hear about it day in and day out. Because I truly believe that if we do not feel the love of God, following him will become a burden. It will become a burden. We only hear about the love of God, but only have the head knowledge. We are not receiving all the blessing that we can have in our Christian life. So I really want us, to each one of us, to really have the true happiness of following in our walk with God. Sometimes I get a little emotional, so if you guys see me cry this morning, I cry on the earlier service. I apologize. But let's open our Bible this morning. I'm going to read from the message. This is the Bible that my brother gave me, and I didn't know he was coming. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nation. That's what I had in mind for you. God said that to Jeremiah when he first called him to be the prophet for him. And the verse I wanted to think of. God said that to Jeremiah when he called him. Did he call each one of us to say, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Do you believe that? Or is that only for Jeremiah? I think God called each one of us on this earth to have, he had planned for each one of us. I want to talk about three types of child. I'm not a mother, for those of you who don't know. So I really don't understand. Truly, I tell the mother, I really don't understand the deep love that you have for your child. Some of us, we all are children, right? Some of us are born out of a true desire of our parents of having us. You know, the couple get married, people get married, and they plan for their kids, and they say, you know, we want to get married for 2 years, and then after that, we want our kids. And some parents really love, they want a child. Some parents go to the extent that they cannot conceive naturally that they're willing to pay $50,000, $100,000 to become pregnant and have a child. So if I'm one of those child, what do you think I feel when I get out on this world? Love, right? I know that my parents really learned, they wanted me to be here. They wanted to really try hard. They spent a lot of money. But some of us, unfortunately, came into this world unplanned. these are what we call oops or accident, right? Like, ooh, not planned, right? So if I'm one of those child, how do you think I feel compared to the first type of child? Probably not as well loved. Like, oh man, I was just an accident. And some of us may feel that way. Come out in this world without being wanted, just an accident. But the third type of child that I want to talk about is the adopted child. Let's look in our Bible, verse Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Long before he laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind, has set on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into the family through Jesus Christ. I am an adopted child. When my parents died when I was very young, probably 7 and 8, both my parents died, so I was adopted child. First, I was adopted into the family of Mr. and Mrs. Nguyen Lam, the sister of Go Bai, for 2 years, and then after that, I was adopted into the family of Mr. and Mrs. Leung Ha until now. Growing up, I had this inferiority complex because I thought, you know, I'm not loved like their own natural children. I'm never loved like their natural children. For those of us who grew up in the Vietnam War, there's a lot of children who live without parents because of the war, people die. So we look at the kids without parents as having pity on them. I'm sure people look at me like, oh, poor kid without the parents. But the emphasis this morning I want to tell you is that for the people who adopted us, adopted me into the family, they have to decide. They have to have love in their heart. Right? You know, a lot of time people say to me and my husband, why don't you adopt? You know, you don't have any kids. And sometimes I don't sense that. Because to adopt somebody, you really have to have love. You have to have the desire. So I really want to appreciate my adopted parent at this point, because sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm not really appreciated. But compared to Vietnam, in this country, it's really hard to adopt a child, right? I have my sister-in-law, who's Sherry's, and Ollie have been married for a while, and they have one kid, and they want another kid. And they try and try and couldn't. They went through all the different methods, so they couldn't conceive. So they finally decided, she was in her late 30s now, and so she wanted to have another child. So she then decided to proceed with the paperwork. The social worker came, investigate, you know, are they going to be good parents? Are they going to have money to support the kid? Is the family stable? They waited and waited, 2 years, at least 2 years, anxiously, and really want this, and they pray. I know they keep praying, and my mother-in-law keeps saying, you know, just if it's God's will, then you get the child. So one day, Sherry never called me because we just sister-in-law, and, you know, we normally go through my husband. But Sherry called, and she was so happy. She said, you know, man, we're going to have a child later this evening because the natural mother is in the hospital going through labor pain. And so she called the whole family. I think that night she called everybody, her friends, her relative, because she was really wanted this child. And a year from now, sometimes she sent things out, and I say, you know, it's amazing how she loved this child even more than her first natural born. I thought, you know, she loved Blake. His name is Blake. They named him Blake. So that's what it sounds like. We are adopted into the family of God in a sense that we are God chosen. And the word that I want us to focus on this morning is the word chosen. That's a picture of me and my brother with Kobat when we were young, first in Da Nang. That's probably about how old I was when I lost both my parents, maybe a few months before that. He longed us, you know, God really longed us to become his children. So we didn't become God's children by accident. He had to pay a very expensive price. He didn't pay just $50,000, $100,000. He paid his life for us. Because when we were born into this world, we belong to somebody else. We belong to Satan. And Satan said, if you want to take your child back, this is how much you have to pay. And he was willing to pay on the cross to take us back. If you read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read from the message. What marvelous love the Father hath extended to us. Just look at it. We are called children of God. That's who we really are. That's who we really are, the children of God. So you said, show me some evidence that really God really loved me. How can I tell that God loved me? You know, my parents I can see, but God is so high. I don't never see God. How do I know that he loved me? So this morning I want to use just three very familiar evidence to show that God really loved us. From the beginning of the earth, at the creation, I truly believe that God loved us. Have you seen parents who are expecting their child? What do they do?
Expecting the child?
Where do they go out? Go out shopping, right? They say, you know, my child is going to be in this room. It's going to be a boy. I'm going to paint it a certain color. If you go to the department store, you have so many different themes for children. So they really go out and choose what they want for that child, right? They go out, and no parents would come home with no clothes for their kid, no milk for the baby. They go out and think of all the things that they need, that their baby would need, right? So sometimes you wonder, why did God create this world? Why did God create this world? This world is like a room for Adam and Eve. So before God created Adam and Eve, he created the earth. You think of all the beautiful flowers, all the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the sun, the sun. He prepared everything for Adam and Eve. He prepared it for us. And at the end of every day, what did God say? He said, it is good. It is good, right? There's no parents, I think, would say, you know, just all right, right? God wants the best. God wants the best for each one of us. So he really created things for us to enjoy. And my husband and I like to enjoy travel. So that up is in Santa Cruz, actually Monterey. You look out the ocean and you see the love of God. You go to look at the sunset and you see the love of God. Even though 6,000 years have passed, we can see the God of love through nature. And I believe that God created this world for us to enjoy because he loved us so much. Last year, I had the opportunity to go to Utah. I don't know how many of you have gone to Utah. No? I thought Utah is just a little dingy, you know, state. Took some friend from Vietnam because they wanted to visit some ex-missionary. And I went there, and they took us to this canyon that was gorgeous. I could not believe it. And I keep looking up. Actually, the picture doesn't show half of how beautiful it is. I keep looking up, and the rock is so flat. And I keep saying, this is not real. Somebody must have carved this out. Somebody must have, maybe they used the machine to cut it out. There's no way it looked like that. But it's nature. It's God's way of showing us how do you go? You know, when I look, that's me walking down there, it's so small compared to the vast things that God created for us to enjoy. There's another way that God showed that he really loved us, is that he cared for us. In our church today, except for Jesse and maybe Anlam, I don't know if they're back. These are the parents who know about taking care of their children. We have some dad that work maybe really hard, 2-3 job to provide for their kids. We have some mom that work all day and then come home and make sure the kid get fed, and you know, you bathe your little child, you make sure they do their homework, and then maybe at night, if they're lucky, they sleep 4 or 5 hours. But how many of us, how many parents can say, you know, they stay up 24/7 without rest? I don't think any of us can say that. But our Father in heaven is always there taking care of us. Do you ever think of that? You know, sometime when I couldn't sleep, I'd wake up and start praying. Do I ever feel that God, oh, he's sleeping? He's not going to hear my prayer? Right? The world is revolving around 24/7. And it's amazing. I just realized it just lately that, you know, God never rests. God never rests. We rest. We get tired. I'm not saying that to say that God is human like us, that he needs to be rested. But if you look at Jesus' life when he's here on this earth, even though he was in the human form, he was like us. He was tired, but is it ever recorded in the Bible that he said, wait a little bit, you know, he tell the sick, you wait, let me do this and that. He never said to the sick, okay, the Bible recorded he worked from dawn till late into the night, and some night he stayed up late praying. He would stay up late and pray through the night. Who is he praying for? You ever wonder? Is he praying for himself? Are you praying for us? I believe that he's praying for us. He's praying for his children, right? As a loving father, God promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. In Joshua, let's open up our Bible again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. This is the promise that God made to Joshua. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. When God called us to do something, to be his child, he promised. I truly believe that every time we read the Bible, it's not just about Joshua, about somebody that God made the promise to, but he also promised that to each one of us. He said, I won't give up on you. I'll be with you. I won't leave you. Whatever we're going through, know that God is there for each one of us. I remember when I was growing up, we stay up in Mountain View, and there's 8 of us kids in the adoptive family and a parent in a 2-bedroom house and 1 bathroom. 2-bedroom and 1 bathroom. Okay? I think imagine 10 people living in the house. My sister decided to get married early, and the girl stayed in 1 room, and the baby was in the same room with us. So the baby wake up a lot at night. Baby keep waking up, and my sister would wake up because this is her child. She really loved this child. Said, you know, go back to sleep. And one night, sister got really frustrated because, you know, she couldn't get any sleep because the baby keep waking up. So she scolded the little baby. You got to go to sleep. I'm so tired. I thought, oh, man, okay. But I think of, you know, I think of that back story. Did God ever scold us? Or, you know, stop complaining. stop crying, stop. You know, he's always there for us. At Andrew University, one day there was a tragic accident, and three of the college students were killed. So in that small community, it was a very sad event because they have to do three funerals very succeedingly. The parent, the grandparent, the classmate came. At one of the funerals, two pastors were sitting next to each other. And one pastor who wrote the story said, you know, his pastor friend came up to him and say, you know, whisper into his ear and say, you know, it's no wonder God cannot sleep. When he look at all the things that we have to go through, all the things that we have to face, do you believe that God just so far up there that he doesn't really care? What did the Bible tell us? Let's look in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Anybody can read it for me, please, Jan? It said, in all the trouble, he was troubled also. Or another word is afflicted. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. He didn't send someone else to help them. He did it himself in person. Out of his own love and pity, he redeemed them. He rescued them and carried them along for a long, long time. When I was talking at the first service, we have some older people. And I was sharing this story because every morning when I wake up and I know I'm going to have a tough, tough day at work, they're challenging, and I always pray to God, God, today you're going to have to carry me. I really can't walk today because I feel like I can't deal with the issues, but you're going to have to carry me through. And regardless of how young we are, how old we are, what we're going through, God promised that he would carry us through. And sometimes it could be physical, like, you know, we're really sick physically, or sometimes it could be emotionally. But he's there for us. The third example that I want us to show is really about the love of God. And we hear so much about how Christ died on the cross for us, right? We sing a lot of song about the love of God on the cross. So if you read in John chapter 15, verse 13, and this is a very familiar verse for us. John chapter 15, verse 13. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. So how many of you have known that somebody have died for their friends? Maybe. You know, some young kids are really love sick, and they're willing to die for their girlfriend. Right? Or some parents maybe are willing to die for their kids. And occasionally we hear a story about, you know, the firefighter or a policeman have to sacrifice their life because of their line of duty. But how many of us have heard that I would die for my enemy? That's what God did for us. Even before we accept him as friend, while we're still his enemy, he was willing to die for us. And that's the difference between God love and human love. Human love, we love the people back. We love the people that love us. But God loved, he loved the people who hated him. He came down to this earth and he had to suffer a lot for the people who didn't like him. So he had to die because that's the only way that he can take us back. That's the only way that he can pay by signing the adoption paper to take us back to be his child. So, you know, you saw the video earlier with Pastor Vin, and it looked like they're having a great time. I wish I was there. But as we read in the Bible, we can also sense the love of God. And one of my favorite chapters, and I think it's very familiar to us, is Isaiah chapter 53. Let's take a few moments when I read it to really, really understand and really feel the love of God. Okay? And the thing is, I really want you to, and for me to really feel the love of God. It's a long Bible verse, so I'm going to read from chapter 53, verse 2. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to call us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turn away. We looked down on him, thought he was a scum. The fact is, it is our pain he carried, our disfigurement, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, but God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sin that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that make us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We are all like sheep who wander off and gotten lost. We have all done our own things, gone our own way, and God had piled all our sin, everything we've done wrong, on him. He was bitten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, like a sheep to be sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. Did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought of his own welfare, beaten bloody for all the sin of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. I think through that Bible verse, we really can feel that he died for us. And I think even more importantly is that we have a choice of receiving that love or not. So, what do you think, you know, why are you sitting in the church today and not other people? So we say we are the chosen, right? We're very proud, say, you know, we are the chosen. Is it because we are better than other people? We're more beautiful than other people? We live more holy a life? I don't think so. I think we all are sinful. But why did God chose us? Like God chose the Israelites. Why did God chose the Israelite? And why did God chose each one of us to be here today?
To tell others.
Very good. Okay. Again, let's look in our Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. God chose us, he said, but you are my witnesses, God decree. You are my handpicked servant, so that you will come to know and trust me, understand both that I am and who I am. We are chosen, we are called to be God's witnesses. So how do we witness for God? I'm so proud of you guys, though, you know. We have a very active youth group, and you guys are really wonderful. Do you do that because you want to be famous? want to be known among the Vietnamese community that we have the best youth group among the churches. Why are we doing that? Because we love for God. Because we are chosen to witness for Him. And I know each one of us are given different talents, and sometimes I fall into the same, like, you know, it's like, oh, I want to be good. But I think each one of us are chosen, regardless how much we have, to be witnesses for Him. I know in our church sometime, like any family, what is God's second most important commandment? Anybody know? What's the first commandment?
Love.
To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second commandment?
Love your neighbor as thyself.
To love your neighbor as yourself. Right. Let's look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. It said, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I love you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciple when they see the love you have for each other." Regardless of how big or how small a family is, how big, crowded the church is, we're going to have some of us maybe feel like we've been wrong at times. We'll have some disagreement, right? We can't say in the family that we never argue. Even me and my husband, just the two of us, sometimes we argue. And there's misunderstanding, and sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. And that may cause us to be disgruntled at times. And some of us may feel like, you know, I just go off to another church. I'm just not happy being there. But if we try and live like how the Apostle Peter taught us to live, and that is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. First Peter 4, verse 8. "Most of all, love each other as if your life depend on it." Love makes up for practically anything. Another version say, love cover all sins. So if you see that I do something wrong, I hope that you can look at me with a loving eyes and forgive me, because you know if one of us truly love, then we won't see the notice, we won't see the mistake that the other person made. So this morning, God have called us to be His child, but we always have a choice. That's the difference between us now. Our parents, when we're born into this world, you may not have a choice, right? Nobody say, oh, I want to be born. Your parents just have you, right? But to be a child of God, we have a choice. We can say, no, I don't want to be your child. Okay? We can choose Him or reject Him. God loves us, but we have a choice. We have a power to turn away that love. We can say, you know, I don't need your love. I don't want to be loved. This morning, I hope that none of us, would turn away on becoming a child of God, and that we can feel deeply within our heart that God truly loves us. So in our walk, if at times you think that following God is a burden, I want you to think about His love for you. He bear the burden for each one of us, and He promised to carry us through. If at time we think that going to church is a waste of time, takes too much time, let's think about God's love. He never counts how much work He does for us. He's never asleep. who's always taking care of us. If we think that giving tithe and offering to God is a waste of money, let us think of all the blessings that we receive from Him, from the sunshine to the air that we breathe, to the health, to all the talent that we have within our hand. It's all a gift from Him. If you think helping out at church is such hard work, helping in other is so difficult, let's think about the love of God, how we have to carry that cross up to Golgotha to die for us. When we become upset with those that live with us at home or at church, let us think about the love of God and remember that love covers a multiple of sin. Let us fill our heart with the love of God and the love for each other. Mother Teresa made this quote that I really like, and I just found it this week. She said, "The fullness of our heart is expressed in our eyes, in our touch, in what we write, in what we say, in the way we walk, in the way we receive, in the way we need." So let us live and be proud that we are the chosen one. We are the daughter and son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So may God bless each one of us. And I hope that through this morning, through my sharing, that you have and I have a deeper understanding of God's love for each one of us.